So Montezuma was one of the first people to regularly indulge in chocolate drinks. And he was known to drink, I think it was something like up to 200 cups a day of ground cocoa beans in hot water with cinnamon and spices.
Wow.
And because he had a massive harem that he had to service.
He had to keep himself pepped up.
Yeah, so the history of chocolate is just kind of fraught with these kinds of stories. Columbus was the first to bring the cocoa bean.
No, I'm sorry that I have to fade Rachel's story of chocolate and Columbus and the history of love and why we love chocolate, but of course I'm over time, as per usual. So I'm going to say goodbye, run out of here. Have a great week. I am not in next week, but there will be an arts report, and I hope you have a fantastic week yourselves. This has been another edition of the Arts Report, and if you want to get in touch with me, drop me a line or give me any tips about arts in Vancouver, you can reach me at arts@citr.ca. My name is Tracy Fuller. This is CITR 101.9 FM. Thanks for listening.
On February 8th at 8 p.m., the Chan Center and the Push Festival present New York City's avant-garde ensemble, Bang on a Can All-Stars, part rock band, part amplified chamber group, performing works by Brian Eno, and from Sonic Youth, Thurston Moore. And on February 15th at 8 p.m., the Chan Center and Kickstart Disability Arts and Culture present Waits, a live performance with Lynn Manning, a riveting one-man play told by actor-storyteller Lynn Manning about how his life changed forever when a bullet shot in a crowded Los Angeles bar robbed him of his sight. The show opens with BC singer-songwriter and recent Canadian Aboriginal Music Award winner Krista Couture. Tickets at Ticketmaster, student ticket pricing available for both shows. For more information, visit chancenter.com.
Tell your woman, or your man, or your animal, or your swing club, or your necrophilic love hole. You crawl across 1,000 miles of broken glass just for the chance to throw rocks at their shit, and they turn their backs on you and walk away. Remember the mantra of the brokenhearted. Remember the call of the nearly lost. Remember the back alley barroom beer-soaked carpet cry of the perpetually wounded. Eat my face. Taste these tears and eat my face. Feel my rage and eat my face. Can't you see I'm in pain? Can't you see how miserable I am? Can't you see me suffer? Well, I didn't think so. You insensitive cunt. You ignorant cock. You manipulative puke. You inconsiderate fuck. Eat my face. My face. You think I'm worthless? You think I'm unlovable? You think I'm unbearable to be around? Well, you ain't seen nothing yet. Eat my face.
Sexual intimidation.
I'm not gonna shave for a month. I'm gonna quit my job.
I'm gonna gain 20 pounds. I'm gonna take stinky beer shits and never flush the toilet just so I'll know what your face looks like when I die. I'm gonna get drunk every night and play all of my Cure CDs, all my American Music Club CDs, and all my Nick Cave and the Bad Seed CDs real loud. So everyone in my apartment building will know that I am in pain. And then, at 2 in the morning, when I can barely get up out of my Easy Boy recliner because I'm too drunk to breathe, I will get up. I will stand tall for one cataclysmic moment and put on the Rollins band to show you how much I really hurt. Because if you don't care about me, I'll show you I'm not worth caring about. Eat my face.
R.C. Wislowski, ringing in our Valentine's Day show. This is Audio Text on CITR 101.9. I'm Julie, and as I said, that was R.C. Wislowski from his CD, The Sound of One Hand Napping. Valentine's Day, one of the stupidest holidays that has ever been. It's stressful for singles, and it causes fights amongst couples, and even those happy couples will have trouble because their friends will be mad at them for having a good Valentine's Day and all that. Not really, I'm just bitter. But I thought that it would be a good excuse today to embrace one of those ancient forms of poetry, love poetry. It's sort of one of the original reasons that poetry was used. And sure, I have a lot of it recorded here, so we're going to have a little taster of a whole bunch of things today, kind of like Valentine's Day candy, a whole bunch of small, sweet things to make you feel good about this coming weekend. But before we get to all those little tasters, just a couple of listings of some Valentine's Day-themed things going on around the city to do a spoken word. First of all, Sweet and Sour, tomorrow night, Thursday, the 12th of February, at Rhizome Cafe. It's going to be a night of sort of spoken word performances, music, stuff like that, all based around Valentine's Day. Sort of Sweet and Sour is the theme. It's 317 East Broadway. It starts at 7 p.m. and it's free, and it's going to be featuring a whole bunch of poets, including Kagan Go, a friend of mine who I did an interview with recently about his upcoming romance novel, which I think I don't have time for today, but I'll play next week, I think. Eilat Zabari and Jen Farrell will also be there. So that's tomorrow night, Thursday, at Rhizome Cafe. One Love is a festival that the Black Dot Collective is putting on at the Center for Integration of African Immigrants at 811 Carnarvon Street in New Westminster. There's going to be a whole bunch of stuff going on. It's 1 to 8 p.m. on Valentine's Day, February 14th. Kids stuff, adult stuff. There's going to be a slam featuring Relevant and Scruffmouth, two Black Canadian spoken word poets around town. And a couple of things that are spoken word related, not so much necessarily Valentine's related. Brendan McLeod, who is a poet and performer and band member and a bunch of things, who you may have heard on this show before, actually, is having a solo show at Café du Soleil this Friday the 13th. It's $5. He's going to be doing some music, some poetry, a whole bunch of stuff. And this Sunday is the monthly Thundering Word at 7:30 at Café Montmartre on Main Street. So that's just a whole bunch of spoken word. It's sort of a open mic competition kind of thing. And that's going to be featuring Sue McIntyre. So one of the things that I kind of wanted to talk about a little bit today is something that my lovely tech and sort of support occasional voice here is Eric Drews, who helps me out on the show a lot, had some really interesting stuff to say just about online dating. He said some stuff that I never really heard before. So, Eric, do you feel like sharing with the class what your thoughts were about that?
I guess so. I don't really think it's anything that groundbreaking, but so you were asking me about
why don't you think people should online date?
Well, I never really said that people shouldn't online date. I couldn't point my finger at anyone specifically and tell them, hey, don't online date. It's not for you. I guess I just get a little bit freaked out at the thought of an entire society relying on online dating. And it seems to, I mean, that's pretty dramatic to say, I guess, but It seems the more and more people I talk to, the larger percent of people that use online dating seems to be getting higher and higher. And I don't know. Don't people go out and meet each other face to face anymore? I just get a little bit freaked out at the thought of legions of singles sitting in front of computer screens, perfectly attractive, interesting people, who for some reason or another can't or won't go out to public events, be involved in their community enough to meet other people. I don't know. Maybe they would. It's just that they know they have the online dating thing to fall back on. So that's my thoughts.
Yeah, it seems sort of a direct extension out of sort of Facebook and all of those things that we do online all the time. We're missing FaceTime, basically, is what I got from what Eric was saying. And I thought that was really interesting. So I guess the message that I want to give to you for this Valentine's Day is, you know, go outside, go see a spoken word show, you know, go talk to each other, hang out with your friends, turn away from your computer screens for a little while and just get that FaceTime, because that's what it's supposed to be all about, right? Human connection can only happen so far on the internet. Not that I have anything against online dating in that sense, but I do think that face-to-face human connection is something that we forget about sometimes, and that's what we're trying to do here with this spoken word thing, this radio thing. It's listening, it's being a part of something, it's the community. So the first piece that we're going to hear is very, very special. Because I like themes so much, less that I like Valentine's Day, I'm taking liberties this week, and I'm going to play you one of my own poems, because I've actually gotten to be known as kind of an erotic poet, which I found out from my brother, who'd heard it from my dad, which was a really awkward moment in my life. You know, that's what you're going to hear. And one more disclaimer before we continue with the show. There's going to be a little bit of erotic content here, a couple of swear words and some sort of explicit content. So if there are any kids listening who shouldn't be listening, you can turn them away and just be forewarned that there might be some
offensive. I'm going to have to leave the room.
Eric, you can leave for this part. So this is me, Julie Peters, at Bump and Grind doing an open mic.
The lovely Julie Peters.
Let's go, Bob.
Thank you. Okay. This one's called Miss You Sometimes. I can still feel it in my skin sometimes. I can still feel it hissing up my sides, running down my thighs. I still miss you, still. I still miss you sometimes. Even though it's been a while, I don't even remember your whole face sometimes. But what I really miss is your lips. Your lips and hands and maybe other parts of you. Your hands, the way they used to slip and slide and hiss across my skin and down my sides and up my thighs sometimes. And I know that I'm repeating myself, just repeating myself, myself speaking last week, last month, mostly last April, you know, a year ago, 2 weeks. It feels different to miss you now. It's less like my guts will fall out or my neck will fall off or my lips will dry out till I can't speak anymore. It's more like I just miss your lips sometimes. It still hisses over my skin sometimes, and I don't even want to shake it because, baby, you feel so good sometimes. And maybe that's okay, baby. Maybe I'll just let it stay. I'll let it lounge in my lungs, chill out in my cheeks, just jazz in my joints. I'll let it come out when it starts hissing again, because I guess it's okay. I guess it'll never go away. It's just that I miss you sometimes.
I think I got a boo-boo.
pie. I wanna hug you like a teddy bear. My bedtime is so unfair. I put a slug in your hair.
Wow, Julie, I don't know if it's the spirit of the holiday, but I really want to hug you like a teddy bear.
Oh, yeah.
Rainbow Groove here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver every Friday night from 9 to 10:30 p.m. Getting you in the mood for the weekend. I'm your host, DJ B-Fad, and I'll present a kaleidoscope of funky grooves for your mind, body, and soul. Tune in to hear everything from underground disco, roller boogie, space funk, rare groove, jazzy house, dub reggae, and anything and everything from Chaka Khan to The Clash. That's Rainbow Groove every Friday night from 9 to 10:30 p.m. here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Crazy fresh, crazy fresh.
Yeah, all we need is some funky dev chow.
You were listening to a cover of Closer by the Vancouver band The Creaking Planks. Coming up next, a Valentine's Day poem for all the nerds in the house, the very talented Duncan Shields with his poem Next Gen.
She was a hot woman who was into games.
Yeah!
She called herself Next Gen. She referred to her vagina as her Xbox. She referred to nights when she wore high heels as platformers. She told me once that when it came to sex, she liked the two-player beat-em-ups, but that a one-player puzzle solver is also good. And then she laughed that very laugh. She smiled coyly and blushed without offering an answer when I asked her if she'd ever done multiplayer. When we were out drinking, she'd always announce her washroom trips by saying that she was going for a wee. Everything was a high score to her. Everything had to be completed to 100%. Life got her down because of that. I once heard her refer to her own life as a real-time first-person shooter. Later, when she was shopping for groceries, she changed her mind and claimed it was a resource management strategy game. Most people signed their letters with X's and O's. She'd add triangles and squares for people she didn't like. She was my guitar heroine. There's no save, Gabe, in real life, but I sure wish I could go back and do it different next time. Put it on pause, wipe the sweat off my hands, and calm down before the next move. Before the left, left, back, back, up, down, fatality. Before the game was over. But there is only the future. I look forward to the new software and hardware that will be coming into my life. Women and relationships that will look more photorealistic. I look forward to more terabytes on my neck and higher poly counts in my bed. I'm looking forward to more gigs and faster information access to save time and to speed the games up. I'm looking forward to a higher frame rate and clearer reflections. I'm looking forward to better quality. But for me, I know that will always be a producer promise tomorrow that will never come. Next Gen will always be in the past perfect. She'll be the high watermark that may never be reached again. She'll be my dream cast.
On February 8th at 8 p.m., the Chan Center and the Push Festival present New York City's avant-garde ensemble, Bang on a Can All-Stars, part rock band, part amplified chamber group, performing works by Brian Eno, and from Sonic Youth, Thurston Moore. And on February 15th at 8 p.m., the Chan Center and Kickstart Disability Arts and Culture present Waits, a live performance with Lynn Manning, a riveting one-man play told by actor-storyteller Lynn Manning about how his life changed forever when a bullet shot in a crowded Los Angeles bar robbed him of his sight. The show opens with BC singer-songwriter and recent Canadian Aboriginal Music Award winner Krista Couture. Tickets at Ticketmaster, student ticket pricing available for both shows. For more information, visit chancenter.com.
Next up, Magpie Ulysses from her recent feature at Floetics at Bump and Grind Cafe.
So I'm wearing your pants. Yeah, Sean, listening to your CDs. Ever since I moved to LA. I was told not to sleep with poets. Or musicians. Painters. Okay, your gypsies or pirates or cowboys, but I have a bad memory because I have given the same advice to others when they look at me in wanting. I always agree with their mothers and their, you know, she's so good for you because she'll never sit still philosophies. I know. I know I leave everything and nothing to be desired. I sit at contradiction's doorway and indecision's garden, and when I get up to go, leave my scattered existence upon their lives in that whether you like it or not kind of way. And yet, I continue on that gauntlet anyway. Replace my losses. But now my bedroom's starting to look like my grandma's basement. It reminisces like a church rummage sale. I've got paintings, chapbooks, matchbooks, eye patches, playlists. And like a bone collector, I arrange it all. I build altars to past lovers while slick towers of love letters become mobiles above my bed. And soft the napkin poetry sits still long enough for me to sew it into a quilt and lie down. See, I'm wearing pants. I'm listening to your goddamn CD. When I'm looking at your paintings out of one eye because the other one's covered with your eye patch, I'm playing your goddamn tambourine. But the only things truly couchable are the intangible memories on my lips as I sleep. Yay!
So that was Magpie Ulysses, and a Valentine's Day show of audio text wouldn't be complete with my lovely voice reading you literature over the air, and it also wouldn't be complete without some erotic reading. So rather than poetry, I'm going to read a really hot scene from Dionne Brand's book, What We All Long For. She's one of my favorite authors, and this is one of my favorite books. It's about a bunch of friends who live in Toronto. And this is a short scene between Oku, who's always been in love with Jackie. So, hey, Jackie said, standing close to him. Hey, he managed to get out of his throat. They stood this way for what seemed like a long time. Then Jackie moved, going to the back of the store, and then he heard Charlie Rouse playing When Sunny Gets Blue. He stood listening, his eyes felt swollen from desire, from recognition, and from a joy. That hoarse, muted horn held her as he wanted to hold her, and she stood still, watching him in that smoky, curious way. He wanted to reach out and kiss her throat. He wanted to drop to his knees and kiss her thighs. But he didn't want to move. He wanted to stay right there and When Sunny Gets Blue with her. He wanted all 5 minutes and 48 seconds of it, like this, with both of them in the full and absolute meaning of things between them. In the silence after, Jackie slowly brushed a hair from his neck, looked into his eyes as if still trying to find something conclusive there, and said languidly into his ear, "Fuck me, then." He inhaled her skin, held her in all the shocked passion collected in him. He laughed, chuckled in the well of her throat, kissed the smooth, cool surface of her neck. They were in Reiner's bed, but he didn't think of it as Reiner's bed until after. He only thought of how they were one muscle made out of the same material, how he wanted to be inside her, how he was finally seeing her naked body, its dark brownness, its pitched sinews, its toned angles, how he felt weak and limber at the same time. He thought only of how he pushed and pushed and held her, how her legs framed him, how she bit him on his breast and his shoulder, how her arms were liquid, how she stroked his ass, how she smelled, and how she mounted him, that same cool look behind her half-closed lids. How they turned and turned, never exhausting that rhythm, the wetness between them. How she told him, "Give me your sweet cock, fuck me." How he said to her, here it is, take it, fuck me, fuck me." How slippery he felt and close to crying when she said, "Don't cry now, come on, eat me, come on." How he put his mouth on her, how she held his head, kneaded his shoulders to make his tongue obey her rhythm, and then pulled him up again, guiding his cock into her. How he wanted to come, but he wanted her to come. "I want you to come, I want you to come, I want you." Pressing her, balancing his cock in her, waiting for her. How he felt her muscles contract, her thighs shiver, a long breath in her cresting. How he wanted to scream for the thickness in his cock, how it burst when she put her hands on his ass and pulled him even closer. Then he wept, feeling so come apart. Then he kissed every part of her glistening body. She, still heaving for breath, grabbed him tightly. He heard her breathing become steady, felt her arms loosen. He kissed the path between her breasts. She held his head and then let him go, rolling out of the bed and finding her clothing. "Come back," Oku said softly. Jackie shook herself into her dress, then stopped beside him to run her hand along his back. "We can always fuck, Oku. Fucking's easy." He grabbed her, rolling her onto the bed again, lifting her dress. He put his cock inside her again. She was impassive. "Not with me," he said, and held her face, kissing her lips. Jackie climbed off him. He let her go. That's when he became aware that he was in Reiner's bed. He didn't care. He would do anything for her, even lie in Reiner's spunk. Now Reiner would have to lie in his. He dressed, went to the front to meet a coolly restored Jackie smoking a cigarette. "So what does it mean?" he asked. "That we fucked." "Okay, and if that's..." "And it was good." "Yeah." He tasted her in his mouth. He smelled her on his face and hands. He reached for her, taking the cigarette away and burying his mouth in hers. "It is what it is," she said, pulling her mouth away, putting her lips in the cavity of his neck near his ear. So that was just a short excerpt from Dion Brand's novel, What We All Long For, published by Knopf. We're coming just about to the end of our Valentine's Day show. This is audio text on CITR 101.9 in Vancouver. If you have any feedback for us, any requests, any love letters, please do email us at audiotextcitr@gmail.com. And thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week.
Yeah.